So what early 90s and early aughts red carpet outfit do you remember the most?
Okay, I am going to say one of the most controversial and legendary red carpet moments from that era is Celine Dion, where she wore the backwards suit and she got slammed for it. But like, I think this was a risk worth taking. If Katy Perry wore this to the Grammys 2017, people would be like, great move. Swish, swish,
bish. Oh, mine's is going to be Bjork in the swan dress. Bjork in this swan dress is the best thing I've ever seen.
Oh my God.
I love me some Bjork. That's awesome.
It was also awesome because she was like, what?
Yes.
Like, she didn't know she was wearing a swan. And it's like, LOL, what?
You're wearing a swan around your neck.
She was like, this is like regular fashion. It's like, I've never seen someone at Trader Joe's with that on. What are you talking about?
Yes.
You're not blending with the crowd there.
I had six eggs hidden underneath so I could pop them accidentally on the red carpet.
Oh, also, wait, my last red carpet moment was Macy Gray wearing Buy My Album as a t-shirt. I believe that fire. At the awards.
Yes.
Do you remember that?
Sometimes subtlety, fuck it. Just be like, I have to pay Con Ed. I have to pay National Grid. Buy this fucking album.
Hey, this is Macy Gray. Go buy my record. Go buy my record. Hurry up. Now go.
Listeners, it's me, Ms. J. Willie, and I'm here to bring you a brand new Pusscast straight from WNYC's Work It Women's Podcast Festival in Los Angeles.
And you know what? I was able to make it because I was abroad in Croatia, aka Crocro, shooting a movie. But we had two dope queens, Favorino, Naomi Ekperigin, step in for me. And you know what? She's such a queen. She's not me, but she's a queen.
She's such a queen.
No.
She stepped in beautifully. She was really fun and amazing. Plus, we've got Michelle Buteau, Marc Maron, Matt Ingebretson, and Sarah Schaefer.
I hope you like it, babies. And if not, you know what? We can't go back in time and do a new episode. So I guess you're just stuck with it.
You're stuck with it.
Enjoy. Wikey wikey.
Amazing.
This is amazing. This is, wow, I feel lifted up.
Yeah.
I feel lifted up. I feel born anew.
This is like, as you would say, a very multi-culti audience, I feel like.
Well, I expect nothing less. You know, I'm here for a hair story. It's why I am wearing a jumpsuit.
This looks amazing. Tell me, like, this doesn't, it's not normally in your wardrobe. What's the story?
No,
what's your fashion story?
Okay,
Naomi.
I said, I've got to channel the raw sexual power of Phoebe Robinson. That's what I said. I did. I told myself what would capture that power, you know, but also allow me to eat a taco later, you know. So it was a two-part process.
Oh, I love it.
You know?
Yeah. Phoebe's outfits are really amazing. She's not afraid to ever work it.
Right.
So I appreciate your bravery. For me, like, stepping out for me is like, there's a little bit of trim here in between my shirt and my skirt.
Oh, I feel the energy.
And now, like, I'm like, this is sexuality for me.
Energy.
Like, this is as far as I'm going to go.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My dad and my mom are right there. So I was like,
Dad and Mom.
Yeah. Gonna play it cool, talking about sexuality in front of dad. And their ministers. Well, I know that you are from New York, born and raised.
Yes,
and I am from here, born and raised. And right now, I'm in New York City. I'm in Brooklyn.
Right.
And now you're living here.
Well,
I see like you've changed a little bit. Like I see you have these whimsical-ass Zooey Deschanel bangs.
You know. Thank you.
You look like a New Girl guest star who's like dating the black roommate. Like, I'm dating Lamorne.
Yeah. Thank you so much for giving casting some ideas. You know? I feel like I'm in LA, I had to go for whimsy. You know, because my natural way is weary. Okay? My natural vibe is like, I just say stuff like, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I mean it. And I feel like you can't do that in Los Angeles. You know what I mean? Everyone in Los Angeles is like, let's go hiking. You know what I mean?
Everyone in Los Angeles is like the opening scene of like a musical on Broadway.
Truly. They're all Belle from Beauty and the Beast.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, good morning. And it's a lot. And I said, how? How do I manufacture that? Beep, 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 beep.
Were you like nervous?
Oh, yes. Especially because I did it myself.
Okay, no fucking way. You trimmed your own bangs?
What happens is, you're sitting at home, you're bored watching a program. And then you go in the bathroom, and then you just pull some hair forward. And I'm like, boom. And then after that, it's like a 3 or 4 day process. Do you know what I mean? Of like slowly creating an even line.
Yeah. Because I feel like whenever I get my hair cut by somebody else, or whenever I get a trim, it's like they do like a technique where they're like snipping vertically.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. When I grew up here in middle school, I went through like
an emo phase.
Did you guys have emo music when you were in New York City?
Yeah, New York had emo music.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know what you guys had. But we had like a very big emo phase.
Like, what were you listening to? What were your jams?
We were listening. There was like a lot of like Fall Out Boy, like a lot. Got into like Kuba Stank. I was very like light emo.
Wow.
But it was like a lot of that. It's like a lot of Simple Plan. Like so, like everybody was like sorry. Like that was sort of the cadence.
Yeah.
It's very like sorry, Dad.
And it was like, was it like a lot of like all the boys had like angled bangs?
Yes. Everything was angled. Everything was frosted. The guys had like these things called soap shoes or like grindy shoes. They were these skater shoes where there was like a plastic sort of arch in it where guys could like run up on a rail and then put their feet on it and like slide across and then jump down. And then turn their backwards hat towards you and be like, what's up?
See, like, that's what I think of when I think of California. You know what I mean? Like, that's exactly it. Like, I feel like it's like I'm in San Diego, California.
Yeah,
that, that energy.
That's true. Wow, that was, like, very, unfortunately, that was also, like, very early sexuality for me. Like,
uh-oh.
I ended up going to, like, a very white school.
Same.
And
come
so
on.
For me in, like, elementary and middle school, I was trying to understand what was going on and what I was attracted to. And
right.
I knew that it was like Daniel Radcliffe. And then
I knew
it was like Gordo from Lizzie McGuire. And then I had just all these jabrones like soaping around and skating around and grinding around.
That's so confusing. You know, that is like a lot. Well, except when you say Daniel Radcliffe, it reminds you of that time I got to see his member. Because
I hate the way you said it. I hate the way you said it.
I feel like because it's Daniel Radcliffe, you just can't say dick. You gotta call it like a member. Do you know what I mean?
That's very respectful of my Wizard Bay. I really
right?
love it.
Because I saw him in Equus on Broadway. That's... So it was like professionally out. It wasn't just me like peeping in a shadow or something.
Yeah. How was the play? Like, what was your review? Do you remember? Give me the review.
Oh, I honestly, truly do not remember anything besides his member. And it was funny, though, because I saw it with my mom.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And I just remember being so nervous about... We saw a member together. You know what I mean? It was like very...
I was
thrown by that process.
Yeah,
you know
that's
what I mean?
A nightmare. I still, like, get sweaty if I'm with my parents and I'm like... Here's a sex scene. Cool. Gonna die now. Like, that's horrible.
Well, the thing is, to me, the worst part now that is like, we all grown, you know what I'm saying? But the problem is, like, still, like, I feel like I still have to pretend I don't know what things are.
Oh.
You know what I mean? Like,
oh.
I don't want them to know that I am familiar with certain maneuvers.
Even if you've been with Bae for like so long.
I know.
You guys are like engaged. Like,
I know. What? And she like is still not comfortable with us having physical affection.
Oh.
She's like, yeah, I think it's like, so it's like you're my child. And so even if he has his arm around me, she's like, what are you touching up on you for? And it's like, we are to be wed. Like, okay, this is not, I'm not, you know.
That's really funny. My mom is like super religious, but she has like hashtag layers.
Yeah.
So every now and then she'll like give me a look where he's like, you know he cute. Like she'll give me a look for my boyfriend, but she's like, he cute. Like she knows.
She knows. She's
aware. Like very like, like she's like kind of proud, which is nice.
That's good. That's good. That gives you like the confidence to go forward.
Yeah, it's funny because she is a lot of confidence, my mom.
Yeah.
And so when I went through that like period where I was like 12 to 13 or whatever, where I had low self-esteem.
Oh, you only had a year? You're so lucky.
No, I was just trying to be nice. I was trying to be nice. I'm over it. Done. You know, 15 years free. to be me. This is sexuality for me. Anyway, I just remember that time I was like, I don't know what she said for. I don't know why you got low self-esteem. I know I'm fine. And your daddy was fine. And you came for me, so I don't know what you tripping for. You know you fine. Like, it was like that.
Oh, that is the best.
Yeah, it rules. It's pretty cool.
You need to get that as a ringtone.
That is my nightmare ringtone.
No, that's like literally like, if I'm like having a low day, just hearing like, could you do that for me, Jess's mom? I didn't need you to record, just make it and be like, you know you're fine. I need that. And then I'll be like, hello. You know what I mean? Like whoever it is.
You're like in your audition or whatever. You're like at casting for New Girl. It's like, you know you're fine.
I have to take this. Thank you.
If your mom, if I had to get a ringtone and it was from your mom, what do you think it would be?
Are you sure? Just in general, whatever it is, are you sure? Whatever it is, are you sure?
Is she like, is it because she doesn't agree with you, or is she just trying to, you know, keep you safe? Is that what it is?
Oh, God, so loaded. Is this being recorded? She'll
know,
find
it
me.
It is.
She'll find me. I just think she's always said, like, I'm your mother. My job is to tell you the truth. So that doesn't necessarily have to be nice. You know what I mean? And so, like, she's always just, like, she wants to make sure that you're making the right choice. I feel like when I was younger, it was like, don't go out there and embarrass me. And now that I'm an adult, it's more like, are you sure you want to marry him? Just, you know, why not? Why not ask? You know, why not ask? You know?
I know that, like, we're therapy buddies.
Yes. Not together, but
no,
we, like, talk
about it. No, we don't
go
together.
Yeah, but we unpack it.
It's nice. As I get older, I find myself reaching for my therapy friends more, like the ones who go to therapy.
Yeah,
because
you got it.
All the other ones are like, that shit crazy.
I know. thank you. Okay, first, like, if you have not gone to therapy, you need to handle your scandal, okay?
Yeah.
That's first. Like, if you're a white male who's never gone to therapy,
you are on the red list.
Don't approach me.
Especially after this election, like, how dare you as a white man not go to therapy?
I swear.
How dare you?
Truly. That's a crime in and of itself.
Truly, it's a hate crime. Yeah. But I just went to therapy for the first time in a long time,
yeah,
a few days ago. And it was pretty crazy because I ran into her in the wild.
Whoa.
And it was very stressful.
Where? Oh, my God, that's so scary.
I went to a friend's, like, screening, and I was already, like, a little bit stressed because there was, like, a lot of people, so I was really anxious.
Yeah.
And then I went into the bathroom, and then she was, like, drying off her hands,
no.
And it was like... I turned, and then I turned to her, and I was like, and then she turned to me, and she was like, and I was like, hey, how are you? And she was like, I'm fine.
And that's it.
And that was it. Like,
that's
we both, like, backed away from
to.
Each other. I, like, backed into the
to.
Stall, and then, like,
truly
waited
step away
for
from
her
the
to
light.
Leave.
You have to step away from the light. There is no, it's like when you were a kid, if you, like, saw a teacher out in public, it was kind of like, oh, you do stuff when I'm not around?
Yeah.
And it's, like, so stressful.
The idea is that it's about me, so I'm in your classroom, and when I leave, you dissipate.
You're gone. You crumble into a pile of dust, and then you rematerialize at 8 a.m. That's the idea. And, like, a therapist, because you were also, like, at a screening, so it's also, like, I feel like when you saw her at the session, were you like, so what'd you think of the movie? Like, you know what I mean?
I did, and... I did, but I only wanted it to go for like half a second. We both didn't want to talk about it.
Yes, yes.
So we were just like, it was great. Yeah, it was great. Okay, let's talk about like my deep-seated insecurities.
Right, right.
Let's unload.
Honey, it's a dollar a minute.
Yeah.
You know? Or however long, whatever you do.
Yeah,
you know?
that is a lot cheaper.
It is.
I was like, yeah, haha.
Jessica,
yes,
I live
ma'am.
A sliding scale life, okay? Sliding scale life.
Hashtag sliding scale life.
Do you want to start this magical
I do.
Time?
I'm so, we got such a good show for y'all tonight.
My God, the best of the best. The best of the best. You guys, our first comic, she's near and dear to us, you know? You've definitely heard her on the podcast.
Yeah, she's a Two Dope Queens favorite. Ladies and gentlemen, please give it up for Michelle Boujo!
What's up, Los Angeles? Make some motherfucking noise!
You guys look cute as fuck. Oh my God, Jessica and Naomi, they are so adorable. Naomi's wearing a cute little onesie. I love me a onesie, except for like when I have to use the bathroom and then it's like a ghetto episode of Cirque du Soleil and I'm like, what? And here's a little fashion tip about onesies. Ladies, if you're gonna get a pap smear, don't wear a onesie, okay? You're gonna be the creepy naked girl at the office. Don't ask me how I know. So originally, I was gonna come out here and tell you a short story about this like really like ugly guy I dated with bad teeth and bad breath that was a coworker back in the day, early 2000s, and I ended up dating him a couple of times because he just paid for everything. And it wasn't like I didn't have standards or have like self-worth. I was just hungry and he loved to pay. And it just like tasted better when he paid for it. And I was like, oh my God. And then one night I got super drunk for Cinco de Mayo because it's Cinco de Mayo. And we were like hooking up in my sublet, fancy. And I felt myself getting sick and I ran to the bathroom and I like just got sick. I threw up and I was like, oh my God, I hope he didn't see. And then like when I looked out the door, there was like a trail of it and I saw him wiping his shirt off. And I was like, ah. And I went back, I'm like, I'm so sorry. He's like, no problem. And then he went down on me. And talking about kissing the boo-boo. So like, the next day he helped me put together like my IKEA dresser. And I had to break up with him because I was like, I have no respect for you. But I'm not gonna tell you about that story because I have a husband and I wanna respect him. You know what I mean? I found somebody to die with, it's cool. I just wanna witness, you know, someone to find me. Oh, you guys just wanna die alone? Cool. But if you guys are like single and like looking for somebody or booed up or whatever, like my biggest thing is just like don't settle. You know what I mean? Like just, you know what the red flag is. You don't have to talk about it constantly with everybody. You know what the fuck it is. Yeah, you sound crazy when you keep bringing up the same shit over and over. You know, one time I settled for this dude. He was like so cute, so short, sort of like Peter Dinklage, a little bit taller. Just a little chicken nugget with dipping sauces and treated me like a queen, but his dick was so small. I was like, I can't get with this. Like, even when it was hard in my mouth, I was like, I've had pieces of chicken bigger in my mouth than his dick right now. But you know what? I'm not gonna go there. I'm married, happily married. Gonna respect my man, cause it's love. I'm just, like, you know, and I met my man through a one-night stand, so I feel like it's a lottery. You gotta fuck your way to the right one. Yes, yes. Don't let someone shame you about your sexuality. Sit and spin and have somebody fuck happiness into you. You know what I mean? Life is short. You gotta take chances. You haven't lived unless you sucked a Dominican guy, a guy's dick in the back of a taxi and got gum stuck on it, is all I'm saying. But I'm not gonna tell you that story because I respect my man. Despacito is a real word. How do you know if your kid, if your daughter loves gymnastics or just like really wants to be a hoe? Splits a gateway to the pole. So I was hanging out with my my squirrel friends in a hot tub in like a plus size bathing suit like I do. Drinking rosé. We talking about sex. This is a very sex heavy set, y'all. Get into it, okay? Ladies, we working it. Let's get our periods together. Fuck it. I don't give a fuck. Fuck men right now. I want to talk about my pussy. So my friend's like, I hate it when a guy comes quick. I was like, bitch, I love it. That means my pussy works. And she's like, what? And she goes, put that on a magnet. I was like, what? That's my time, everybody. You've been amazing. So amazing. Give it up for Michelle Boudreaux.
Black. You're amazing, obviously. We love you on this podcast. I'm curious, what do you have going on right now?
This is like a ghetto, like, Hoda and Kathy Lee right now. I love it. I am very happy to announce that next year I will be working with WNYC.
Yeah!
And I'm going to be putting out my own podcast.
Co-hosting this podcast so far?
Honestly, it feels like home. You know?
That's so
nice. It feels so right.
That's good.
I love it. Highlight of this move to Los Angeles, I'll tell you.
Jeez. Okay.
We'll get into that later.
Okay. Well, we are very excited about this show tonight.
Ooh, we got a great guest.
Because we have a very, very special guest.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happening. You know, this guy... Wow, I mean, don't you think, didn't we feel some, we felt intensity, we felt energy.
I was very surprised. I was a little intimidated.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, he's like a white guy, so I was like, I don't feel this way about white men.
Right, but you know what, though? He is Jewish, which is an ally, you know?
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
And so,
yeah.
It's like, I felt that, and I was like, wow, but then I was also like,
A push and pull.
You know? He's done so much. You know, yeah. I think we could call him probably, what, the king of podcasts?
King of podcasts.
You know, I'm going to say it. I don't know why not.
An amazing actor.
Actor, writer, comedian.
Comedian you extraordinaire.
Know? He's doing it all. You know, he's on an emotional journey. He's taken us all with him. I'm invested in his success. You know?
All behind those iconic spectacles that he wears.
So iconic. You guys, give it up for the man. Yes, that is accurate. That is accurate, dancing.
Hi, Mark, have a seat.
Thank you.
Sit down.
Have a seat.
Where you
want
to sit in the middle?
Get in the hot seat. Oh, there's a clock right here timing us down. Let's
classic.
Get on with it.
Okay, so questions. How are you? Thank you for doing this podcast. We
nice
appreciate
to see
it.
You. I'm fine. Thank you.
Nice to see
and
you.
And you?
I'm well.
Good. Yes.
That was really
back to
intense.
You.
Okay. I am doing great
nice.
As well.
All set. Everybody's good.
Well, thank you so much for doing this. As I said
I'm
earlier,
happy to be here.
How does it feel? This is for Work It Fest. This is like a majority. This group is majority women.
I feel
this is a women's festival. How does it feel to be surrounded by a bunch of women?
It feels good. It's intimidating. I'm okay.
Yeah. You're holding it together.
Yeah, I'm holding it together. I'm trying to keep it together. Yeah, I work with, I do Glow. I'm in the show.
Yes to Glow. Yes to Glow.
And I'm about to start work in a couple of weeks, right? So it's pretty much me and 13 or 14 women every day. And
are you synced up with them?
Yeah, yeah. It was so weird when it first happened because I'd never had a period.
Yeah. Right.
But they say it happens. I just didn't think it would happen to me. It's crazy.
Right.
So I'm not now. I'm in the middle of my cycle.
How is it working on the set of Glow? Like, what's that like?
Well, it's good, but like, you know, I have to. People have. I've talked about it before. I think I'm misunderstood. I can't socialize with them.
Why?
What's
Why not?
What's going on?
Well, I got it. Like, okay, here's what happens. I got to play an asshole, mildly sexist asshole, who's damaged, and that makes him endearing. So, yeah. I'm the damaged sexist that women tolerate. Uh-huh. So, in order for me to stay in that space, which is a stretch, I mean, I think I have it in me. Why does that get a laugh? I work hard to manage, you know, to be a decent man. So
I know. Therapy.
It's happening right now. Don't you feel it? Everybody
feel
it.
I can feel the work.
Here's the deal. So they all sit together. So that's 13 women in a little circle. I can't go in there.
You can go in there.
No, oh my. Are you kidding?
It's not a matter of confidence. I'm not intimidated.
Okay.
It's just that all the intensity, the energy, the talking, the womenness of it will just shred my concentration and just level me into a sobbing mess of man.
Okay.
And I have to keep my sexist assholeness up.
Right.
I can't get broke down.
Do you find, I know, like, when I read, like, Entertainment Weekly or whatever, some actors who play the villain on set, they're like, I had to keep my distance because I didn't want to, you know, get close to any of the other actors. Do you find that you're like
keeping your distance
so you can stay in character?
Well, I think that's sort of what I'm saying, but I'm very needy. And and I get, you know, like I work, do a lot of scenes with Alison Brie, and we have a very intense dynamic. You know, we get along. I'm not really keeping, it's not so much for character. It's just that, like, a lot of times when you're on set, there's a lot of time.
Right.
So, like, I want to, you know, maybe watch The Sopranos the entire season. I want to get some, you know, emails done. You know,
yeah.
I want to, you know, spend too much time on Twitter getting mad about shit. So
there's like so much negative space in acting. Like there's so much room to do other things. I find that my least favorite part of acting is like when they're like cut and you're just staring at the other actor and you have to try and get small talk or something.
Oh yeah, you just look down.
Yeah, it's like,
right.
It's, you're like,
and you want to do it right. You can't get too far out of the moment.
Yeah.
There's no time to go to the food, you know? That's
like,
the other
like,
thing about
I
acting.
I just walked to Crafty and they're like, sorry, you don't have any time to do that. We're just going to turn around.
And then you say like, fuck you. It's my scene. You'll wait.
Oh, never.
Wow.
I'm like too much of a black female to be able to do that.
Yeah.
I would get like canceled.
Yeah.
Everything I did would get canceled.
Would be all of it
yeah.
would be canceled.
Everything would be
before
canceled.
Before you even left the set.
I know exactly.
Someone would radio someone else. You
I
know
exactly what you're talking about.
And they'll be like, she carried herself with too much sass and it would be shut down.
No, that's no.
Oh, hush your mouth, Mark Meer.
I wouldn't do it either, but I do eat a lot on set.
Yeah.
But for some reason, the Glow set's like a fucking cruise ship. You know, like every 2 hours, it's like a bell rings, and you're like, really? Indian food? Great. And, you're like, and then 2 hours more, you're like, it's Chinese time? Awesome. And by, you know, week two, I'm like, oh, fuck, I'm fucked. How am I going to fit into these pants that they bought for me?
Well, that's exciting.
It's exciting. I'm excited to go back.
Yeah,
and I read the first script, and I'm still an asshole. And like, they cut my hair like this. This wasn't a choice. This sort of 80s feather business.
It's working for you, though.
Yeah, it looks good.
It's
I feel like this
you.
Is how it looks.
I feel like when if you get old and you still have hair, you're doing all right. You know, you're
yeah.
going to... You're going to look pretty good no matter what you do with it. As long as it was getting really long and it's really gray, and then I was starting to look a little like, you know, that guy's like a sort of sad hippie guy. And but then I cut it, and I'm like, no, I'm not. I'm just an average Joe.
No, this is a nice look.
Can we talk about maybe your book? I don't know. I'm curious. Tell me more. Come on.
Oh, the book came out really well.
Good.
Congratulations, man. Oh. Yeah, What's the book called?
The book is called Waiting for the Punch, Words to Live By from the WTF Podcast. And what we did was, my genius partner and producer, business partner, we're not fucking.
it's important you clarify.
Yeah. Well, I know it's weird, isn't it? I think it is important that I clarify.
Yeah, no,
you don't want to make assumptions.
I don't know what word to use for my girlfriend. I don't say partner, but a lot of people say partner for the one that they're with.
Yeah.
But he's my business partner. It doesn't matter. Brendan has a family. I'm not throwing him under the bus.
I don't know.
All right.
That's funny.
We're not.
I had to.
No, it's good. It's good. Very good. It was a three-one. You hit it. It was good.
Thank you so much. You're like here and there you go.
Sounds like you're fucking. You can't even use this. So anyways, he's a genius. Brendan is a genius. My business partner, Brendan, who produces the show.
Yes, yes.
So he remembers almost every conversation I've had. I don't. And we had this opportunity to put this book together. And what it is we kind of, the themes that sort of recur on the show, like addiction, spirituality, relationships, failure, success, growing up. Things like that, they're the chapters. And what Brendan did is he found about 160 different people that I interviewed and was able to isolate segments of conversations that relate to those themes. And it's sort of powerful because I read it and I'm like, I don't remember having this conversation with this person. I don't remember hardly any of it. And I had that moment reading it, like, this is a pretty good talk I had.
Is there, like, doing the... You know, you've done it, obviously, for so long, and you interview so many people. Like,
you're the old man of podcasting. We were children when we first heard you.
But what I wonder, though, is obviously what it means to get there and be present with a person, maybe like a stranger, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is there anything you do to get yourself kind of ready, either energized or open to have the convo?
Panic. I panic a lot.
Cool.
Like, here's a lot of... I'll show you what I do. This is not good for people listening. So I have someone coming over. I don't prepare a lot, but I do a little research, I get a little background. I like to know, you know, where they're from, maybe what they've done, why they're coming to my house. but I don't usually... I'm always nervous. Because when you're talking to famous people or people you know their work, you have an idea of who they are. But that's not right. They're going to be more than that. And you might be wrong. So a lot of times I'm just sort of like, come on, fight the idea I have of you. That's the journey. But here's what I do before they come. A lot of this. If there's someone in the room, I'll be like, fuck, what am I going to talk to that guy about? I mean, what am I even going to talk about? Then I'll call Brendan up. I'm like, do we know whether or not he talks?
Okay, so you may not know that until minutes before.
How do you know? Because I'm going to be sitting for an hour. Yep. And sometimes, you know, it's a long time, an hour. So... yeah. So he'll contribute, like, he'll tell, like, who did I talk to where he was sort of, like, you know, really, you know, into it and wanted me to get it right. Oh, my God. Now I can't.
The president of the United States, Barack Obama?
That was it. we had to really prep that one because I had an hour and... that was a different type of preparation.
Did they come, like, sweep your garage and stuff and all that?
Oh, yeah. What, are you kidding me? Like, 2 weeks before, like, I was in Hawaii. I wasn't going to let it screw up my vacation. So, Brendan flew in from Brooklyn to be at the house when the Secret Service did their initial sweep to figure out, you know, where they could put snipers. And apparently, Brendan was in the garage, and there was a guy on the roof, like, who was going, like, yeah, I think this is good. And Brendan said the roof was buckling. And he's like, no, it's not. It's not good. Ultimately, the snipers, we had asked my neighbor, Dennis, if we could put him on his roof. He's retired. He was like, great. So
fun activity for Dennis.
I'm excited for the action. Yeah.
Right, it's fun for Dennis.
But, exactly. It was fun, and they gave him a little thing, a patch.
That's sweet.
That's like when a kid really takes sweet. A plane by themselves.
Yeah, that's right. Comes full circle.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
He's got a little special ops patch. But yeah, there's like fifteen Secret Service, a dozen LAPD, and they tented the driveway. They made a carport. You know, they emptied the neighborhood. He flew from the West Side to the Rose Bowl, which is 5 minutes from my house, in the helicopter. It's funny because I'm out back, and the Secret Service guy's like, "We'll let you know when he's 20 minutes out." And we saw like Air Force Two, the chopper, and the Ospreys. I'm like, "He's about 20 minutes out, I think." Don't you think? And then, like, he comes up, but, like, I didn't, like, that was one of those things where I had an hour, I didn't want him to get in the weeds with politics, I wanted to do what I do right. with him.
Yeah.
So, like, there was some preparation involved. It wasn't me walking around going, like, oh, fuck, what am I going to talk to that guy about? What am I going to talk to the president? You know, why is he coming over? But I was sort of concerned there. I did have a moment like, what should I wear? The president's coming to my house.
Right. Did you iron the shirt?
But no, that was my choice.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm wearing,
that's so disrespectful.
Wow. No, it's not.
That's
I wore a
bananas.
Black shirt. My house. My house.
It's like in your garage.
My house.
Girl, that is like not your house anymore. Okay? The moment... The president, the moment they put up a carport,
yeah.
It ain't your house anymore, girl.
But he was casual, no jacket, loose, open tie.
That's hot.
Loose.
Did you see some chest?
That sounds amazing.
No, but he smelled good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did he smell like?
I can't define it.
Was it spicy? Was it woodsy?
Yeah.
I wear patchouli, and it wasn't that.
Oh, of course. You got, like, the turquoise and the patchouli.
Oh,
that's
my God.
Brand.
Yeah, yeah. Like, truly, it's all happening.
I love that.
It's all happening. Patchouli, turquoise,
what interview would you say you're most nervous for?
It's every time. I wasn't that nervous for the president because he came over. He's very, like, it was weird because I'm waiting next to the garage door and there's a ways to the gate and he comes up the tunnel through the gate and I saw the motorcade come, like cops, blah, 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 and then something stops. And then like all these people start coming up and I can't see the president. They come through the gate. I'm like, what's happening? And then just out of the middle of the group, I see a hand go up, Mark. And it's...
Oh, that's sweet.
Like, Mr. President. He walks up. He's like, is this going to be fun? And I'm like, I don't know. I hope so.
Did you give him your surliest?
No, but like honestly... There was stuff we had to cover. It was 2 days after that horrible shooting in Charleston with Dylann Roof, right? Mm-hmm. So we didn't even know if it was going to happen. So, you know, he, you know, was angry and he came in. He was, you know, when he walked up, I think he was going to put on his best face to do what I do in there. But we got into it and he got into it and it got very serious for the first 5 minutes. And we had to talk a little bit about a Supreme Court ruling coming down the following week. But then, you know, he started taking shots at me. Like he kind of took shots at me right away. Like
he was like dragging you a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, dude, he walked into my garage. He's like, a lot of pictures of you in here. Isn't that kind of narcissistic?
That is so dope.
Yes, I'm
kind of glad he dragged you a little bit. Did he call you out for the wrinkled shirt?
No, he was okay with the shirt. I think we got along pretty well. Like you know what was weird is that like I must have been comfortable because I was finishing his sentences for him. Like I don't have like I knew I had an hour, you know, and there, you know, and he's like he's very thoughtful and not, I'm not going to say long winded, but it can go on a minute, you know. So
this one got somewhere to be. This one over here. Okay, can you hurry?
Yeah.
I just wanted to get it all in. And, but we, you know, I was calling him man. It was loose. He was cool. Yeah. He went to school down the street at Occidental, so he brought that up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And,
that's amazing.
But, you know, he's a very grounded guy, you know, and a very smart guy. They didn't vet the questions. We had final edit. They, you know, that is an administration. They're like, he can take care of himself.
Exactly. Yes.
Thank you so much for doing our show.
Thank you for having me.
Everybody, give it up for
Yes. This lady, she's great. She's out here in LA, okay?
She's funny.
She's fresh. She's funky.
She dresses really cute.
I'm into the vibe. She was just at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival, okay, where she sold it out. Okay, that's what she did, okay? So why don't you guys start clapping, get amped for Miss Sarah Schaefer!
Hello. Hey. Y'all okay? Ooh. It's been a year. 2017. Good God. Who here is just ready for it to be over? I'm not talking about the year. I'm talking about all of it. Who here is just ready for it to be over? I'm done. Bring the end of the world, okay? I don't want to fight. Take me in the first wave. Mama's tired. I don't want to survive. I don't want to forage. I don't want to go on a supply run. I don't have the core strength to rebuild society, okay? I've thought this through. I don't want to even have to repopulate the earth because I'm the only woman left in my group of very attractive younger men and I have to have sex with all of them and it's not slutty, it's noble. Like, I don't even want that anymore. It doesn't even do it for me like it used to. I'm done. I'm done. I miss truth. I miss truth. Meaning. You know what else I miss? I miss how good it felt to point out hypocrisy and it meant something. Now it's just like pushing water uphill with a rake. That's over. There are a lot of reasons. It's complicated, obviously. But one of the reasons, one of the causes, I think, of the sort of decay of truth and meaning is this trend in home decor. Some of you probably already guessed what I'm going to say. And what it is it's this thing that people love putting up in their house, which is inspirational quotes on rustic pieces of driftwood in multiple fonts. Okay? Now, some of you, I'm gonna guess you're at a women's podcasting festival. Some of you probably have that shit up in your house right now. And usually the quote will feature a word from a list of keywords like journey, faith, hope, live, laugh. Thank you. Oftentimes, those are featured as a triptych. Sister, dance. It'll be a quote like, why walk when you can dance? And it'll be in like Times New Roman and Lucida handwriting and Garamond. Because I'm not going to be limited to one font, you asshole. I'm whimsical as fuck. Now look, whenever I see somebody with a sign up in their house that reminds them to laugh, I'm like, are you okay? It's like they see it and they're like, oh, I almost forgot. You're like, talk to someone. You're not okay. Now I know what you're thinking. You're like, oh my God, she left out one of the words. No, I didn't. There's a whole section on it. Calm down. And that word is believe. It's so powerful and so potent. Believe is the king emperor of all the words that go on rustic pieces of driftwood in multiple fonts. Because that word can live by itself on a piece of driftwood. Some people don't even put it on wood. They just paint it on the wall directly above their bed. Some people tattoo it on their ankle, and that's a choice. But whenever I see somebody with the word believe up in their house, and maybe this is just me, I'm always like, could you be more specific? Because the act of believing is not a personality trait. You actually have to choose the thing that you believe in. And I need to know, you know, I need to know what it is. What is it that you believe? And what are we talking here? Because it could be a whole range of things. Are you saying you believe in yourself, or you believe in the supremacy of the white race? Because I really need that information before we can move forward. All right. And while we're at it, can we just keep calm and stop making those fucking posters? If you don't know, it's keep calm and carry on. It was a British thing, but like everything else, Americans ruined it. We went ape shit with it. I saw one the other day that was like, keep calm and pizza. Like, that's not a fucking verb. Now, these platitudes, these cliches, you know, I get it. I mean, I'm making fun, but I understand why we need them, because sometimes, especially in person-to-person interactions, we need to fall back on that stuff, because sometimes the truth is way too fucked up to actually say, right? Like, for instance, I experienced this really, a lot of it firsthand at my mom's funeral, and yeah, I just thought I'd bring that up to lighten the mood a little, just to end the show on a high note. My mom's dead. But in order for you to understand what happened at her funeral, you have to know a couple of things about her. First, her name was Billy Schaefer. And second, any Billy heads in the audience? Okay, we need to have a conversation afterwards. Her name was Billy Schaefer, and she was an incredible woman. And I know that everybody's mom is an incredible woman, but my mom was better than your mom. She really was. She spent her whole life dedicating herself to helping those in need. She went to Rwanda during the genocide. She let a homeless man live with us one time, which might have been questionable because we were teens and, like, he was a fugitive. She did her best. But she also had this uncanny ability to make every single person feel like they were the most important person in the world, which is a really special gift. But what that meant at her funeral was that I had dozens of women that I'd never heard of before, never seen once, didn't know who they were, coming up to me saying shit like this. I saw a yellow butterfly on my minivan this morning. It was your mom. Thank you. If you see her again, could you trap her in a jar and maybe bring her to me? Because I would like to speak to her. I was washing my dishes this morning, and just then a red robin perched upon the windowsill. Thank you. What time? Because she was on a minivan around that same time. You know what? Don't worry about it. And all these are real, but I need you to understand this last one is something someone literally said to me after my mom's funeral. The dead speak to me. And last night I heard a voice. Now please tell me this rings a bell, Sarah. It said something about there not being any more pain. She literally made that gesture. And I was like, Mom? That's so specific. It checks out. She's dead. Look, if you're going to be a shitty medium, a small, if you will, at least pay attention during the 2-hour funeral service you just sat through. And pick up on one detail about the woman's life. Don't come at me with literally the most generic thing about being dead. There not being any more pain is the dead person message equivalent of I like the Beatles. Like, yeah, we know. Get in fucking line. I'm almost done here, but look, if my mom really wanted to communicate to me through Mary Jo, don't you think my mom would have picked something really specific that only she and I would know so that I would know it was real? Like, if Mary Jo had come to me with, like, last night I heard of this one word over and over again, Sarah, please tell me it rings a bell, because I don't know what it means. It just kept saying, nutrageous? I would have been like, okay, so to explain, there was a candy bar. Y'all remember it was called Nutrageous? Right. It was a play on the word outrageous. You get it. My mom didn't get it. You know, she thought it was pronounced Nutrageous. And we thought that was the most adorable, outrageous thing we'd ever heard in our lives. I literally am on the zero. It says 0 seconds left, and I think WNYC wants me to leave. But look, I'd love to talk. No, I'm a good girl. I'm a good girl. No. Oh, they said I could keep going. I was born in 19... No, just real quick. I just want to tell you this one part, this one last part. I basically, at this point at the funeral, I'd had it. I was like, why? Why would my mom visit all of you basic bitches in the suburbs of Virginia before visiting her own children? That is fucking insane. Get away from me with that shit, Bethany Sue. I don't want to hear it. So at this point, I back off. I'm like, you know what? I need a break. I'm going to go sit in the corner, get away from the fray. I'm going to sit down next to my Aunt Anne. Now, in order to understand this last part, you need to know that my Aunt Anne is mentally disabled, and she has this beautiful spirit, and I knew she'd bring me some peace. So I sit down next to her, and we're quiet for a minute, and then out of nowhere, Aunt Anne says, Billy's gone to heaven, and she's never coming back. Ugh. Billy's gone to heaven and she's never coming back. Billy's gone to heaven and she's never coming back. Billy's gone to heaven and she's never coming back. And I'm like, this kind of has a rhythm to it. Should I get a banjo out? It's like, Billy's gone to heaven and she's never coming back. Sounds good. So I'm like, could this day get any more fucked up? That is not what I expected. But then, I'm serious, a wave of relief washed over me right then. And I looked it on Anna and I was like, thank you. That's the most honest anybody has been able to be with me today. That's real. That's true. Put that shit on a piece of driftwood. Now, I was like, oh, I don't have to worry about it anymore. I could just let go and accept it and not think about my mom visiting me as a damn forest creature, you know? But of course, obviously, the relief was momentary. And many, many times, I mean, countless times over the years, I have just yearned to feel her presence, you know, anything. I'll just be like, Mom, please, make your presence known, please. And then I'll think about what that would really be like. And I'm like, wait. Mom, if you're gonna visit, let's just lay down some ground rules first. First off, no footsteps. Don't open any cupboards. Don't be all invisible in a rocking chair. If you're gonna be invisible, sit in a regular chair. If I'm washing my face in the sink and I come up, like, don't be in the mirror behind me. It's like, ah! And Mom, whatever you do, do not get inside one of my old dolls and turn its head when I come in the room, just like, guys, thank you so much. Thank you. Give it up for Sarah Schaefer!
That's good. That was good.
Yeah, it was funny. Have you done shrooms?
Oh, no. I'm really scared of them.
No, that's a chill one. Like, I'm somebody who can't smoke weed because I hear, like, dogs that don't exist and... I know I'm gonna die, but shrooms, I was like, oh, this is very steady. Like, this is very mellow. I felt in control. Huh. And you know I loves my control.
My pessimism makes me feel like if I were to do a drug, I would, like, be the person to OD immediately. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't think I'll be able to do it. Like, I'm just very scared of them. I always assume whatever the worst thing that can happen is what's gonna happen immediately. So I just don't do it.
I will say certain drugs are so bananas that the worst possible thing that could happen is, like, so off the charts that it's like, don't dabble. Like, the idea that there's a possibility that you can bite somebody's face off if you do bath salts is...
Right.
It's bananas that like a drug dealer is still like, I got bath salts, you want bath? Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Like, do you remember angel dust, right?
No.
You're younger than me, but I remember hearing about angel dust.
Uh-huh.
And being so scared, I said, never again. I said, never.
Never again, do you want to hear about it?
Yes. Yes, correct. You want to bring out
our final comment?
Oh my God, have you guys been having fun? Yes. This next guy is hilarious. He's got a new show coming out on Comedy Central in January called Corporate, okay? So mark that down. Just all of January, hold it down, okay? If you want to be at home watching Comedy Central. You guys, give it up for the hilarious Matt Ingebrigtsen!
Round of applause if you have anxiety. Round of applause if you smoke weed to deal with anxiety. Round of applause if smoking weed causes you way more anxiety. What is going on with weed? I've had to change my relationship to weed over the years. I've learned some things. I can smoke weed, but I cannot eat weed. I learned that. My friend gave me a ride to the airport once, and he had a weed brownie in his car, and he was like, you want to eat this weed brownie? And then I ate the whole weed brownie. And then it was like in the terminal starting to kick in, and I was feeling good. And then as I was boarding the plane, I started to like overtake me, and I was like trying to hold it together. And then I sat down, and the woman next to me was reading a book called Catholics Mean Business, and I freaked out. Full on panic attack. I had a nice day today. I had a really nice day. I cried today. Thank you. Felt really good. Thank you. Yeah, I'm emotionally open enough to cry now, and it feels really good. My dad never told me not to cry, but he did tell me that pain was a construct that I created in my brain that I could choose to ignore, so that's what I got. I typically don't cry at stuff in my real life, though. It's usually inspirational YouTube videos that get me going. I was watching videos the other day of people getting cochlear implants put in and just weeping. I like watching videos of soldiers coming home and seeing their dogs for the first time in years. The other day I was watching Larry Bird highlights, and that really, I don't know what that was. The thing that makes me cry harder than anything else, though, is seeing another man cry, because that's the only way men have ever really been, like, held down, is, like, emotional repression at a young age. So, like, crying with another man is a really intense experience for me. Like, when LeBron James won the championship a couple years ago and cried in the interview afterward, I was right there fucking with him. I would rather cry with another man than have sex with a woman any day of the week. If there was an app that could geo-navigate me to other men in the area that I could watch the first 10 minutes of Up with and just let it all out, I would sign up in a heartbeat. It'd be called Grindr, and this is a very nice theater. I don't always get to perform in gothic castles. I'm 6'4", so this theater is about the right height for me, I think. I was performing recently in a venue with very low ceilings, and the ceilings were like here, and there was a spotlight on the way to the stage hanging about there, and on my way to stage, I just walked right into the spotlight, and it cut my forehead open. I bled all over myself. And I happened to be recording audio at the time. Do you guys want to hear the audio of that happening? Okay. This is me walking into a spotlight. That's it. Really traumatizing experience for me. It was hard to relive it just then. You want one more time? All right. All right, got to be quiet. Quiet for a little longer this time. This is me. walking into a spotlight. That's it. I was recently in a Whole Foods, not to brag. I was in a Whole Foods and I was in the yogurt aisle, and not to brag, and when I was in the yogurt aisle, I overheard a couple arguing over how fast they go through yogurt. And for just a brief moment, if I closed my eyes, it felt like Obama was president again. You guys know, that makes sense to you, when you could talk about things like that. Who's single here tonight, huh? Round of applause if you're single here tonight. Losers, bunch of undateable losers. Round of applause if you're in a relationship, huh? Round of applause if you're in a committed relationship. I give it 3 months before those crumble to the ground. I'm in a relationship, and we met on Tinder, which is not a very fun meeting story. My parents have a way better meeting story. My parents grew up in a town of 500 people in Iowa, and they have a really cute story of how they met, which is that they looked around and there was no one else. And they got married for 35 years. I lost my virginity in college. Thank you, not to brag. I don't know. Lost my virginity in college on a Halloween night while watching a movie. And I've learned since then that there is no good movie to have on in the background of sex. There's always going to be some weird stray dialogue that comes in at bad moments. I lost my virginity on Halloween night while watching the movie Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus, if you're unfamiliar, which it doesn't seem like, it seems like all of you live and die by that movie. Seems like that's your religion, is Hocus Pocus. Hocus Pocus is a movie about three witches starring Bette Midler, Sarah Jessica Parker, and Kathy Najimy in the role of a lifetime. And a lot of guys come too quickly the first time they have sex. I lasted 45 minutes out of pure stress and anxiety. I ended up coming when Bette Midler was singing a Broadway version of I Put a Spell on You. It was a really weird night for me. My girlfriend and I are coming up on 3 years. Thank you. We celebrated our 2-year anniversary by going to Joshua Tree and doing mushrooms, which was fun. It was tough to top our 1-year anniversary where we went to Big Bear and did mushrooms. We have a fun little tradition going. First year we did mushrooms, we did something that neither of us had ever done before. We had sex while we were on mushrooms. We had sex for an hour and a half on psychedelic mushrooms. And I lost my erection 10 minutes into that. And neither of us had an orgasm. But it was the most fulfilling sexual experience I've ever had in my entire life. I highly recommend it. And if you have erectile dysfunction, by the way, don't take Viagra. Just eat mushrooms. You will not get an erection, but you will learn to see the inner beauty in your flaccid penis, which I think is more important. Guys, that is going to do it for me. Thank you very much. And give it up to your host tonight.
Sarah Schaefer, Matt Engelbretson, Mark Maron, and Michelle Buteau.
Tudor Queens is produced by Joanna Solitaroff, Jen Poyant, Paula Schumann, Rachel Neal, Phoebe Robinson, and Jessica Williams. Our team includes Joe Plord, Matt Boynton, Ed Haber, Isaac Jones, and Shanoa Estrada. Our theme music was composed by Jeff Brodsky.
Hey, friendships, why don't you subscribe to our podcast? You know, wherever you listen to it, you can click the subscribe button and you can get our stuff all the time. And also, rate us 5 stars. I know I'm asking a lot, but this is the last time I'll ever ask you for anything, I swear.
Bye, y'all. Justin Timberlake was my number one, and Britney Spears I liked a lot. So the fact that they were together was a massive deal. And you're going to come out on the red carpet in a matching blue denim dress outfit and a Canadian tuxedo?